Yes, sir.
And I promised the Lord that if he'd found me a job working local, I'd bring my CDL and apply it and use it for his glory.
Amen.
And I started working on the bus ministry because that just makes sense that that's where I could use my CDL. And as the time came, it got to be where they needed another bus driver. When Randy couldn't drive anymore, the Carrollton bus, Brother Michael had to take over there, so I took over the Billerica Temple bus. And the young woman that got saved this past Sunday, I brought her in on my bus. I got a part of that. But there's something you might not know, Pastor, is that she was in Brother Freddie's Sunday school class and passed me a note and said, I'm going to walk home because I'm not feeling very good. See, the Lord, see, the enemy was trying to keep her from getting saved.
Yeah.
And yet she instead came to talk to you in between Sunday school and church and then stayed for church and got saved. Woo! Yeah. Praise you, Jesus.
There you go. There you go. Whoo, hallelujah. I don't even know what to do, man. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Man, I'm telling you, that's a blessing. And you get there, he starts singing that song about he took my place.
Amen.
And what you got to understand is he didn't just pay your debt. He didn't just pay your price. He took your place.
Woo!
He took your suffering. He took your sin. He took your shame. He took it all, man. While he was singing, I was thinking about how wicked I was, man, and the stuff I did, Brother Greg, even in God's own house. I'm talking about buying and selling dope in the church house, fighting in Sunday school rooms. I mean, you name it, it went on. After all that, he still saw fit. It's good to be saved, man. Hallelujah. I'll read the scripture in a minute. I couldn't see it now if I was looking at it. And it's good.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't base what I have on a feeling. I'm sure glad every now and then I can feel his presence, boy.
Yes, sir.
And I don't see how people go to dead. I mean, just literally cold, dry, dead services. I couldn't make it as a Christian like that. I wouldn't. I'd wash out, man. I got to have something tangible, man. Something I can feel. And I know without faith it's impossible to please God. But I don't know how you can make it where he's not.
Amen.
And people go to those places, been going for years, and they'll die there. And they've never seen God move, man. I don't understand it. But I'm glad I'm not there, amen. I'm glad I'm where God likes to show up and show out, amen. Hallelujah. Just love on a bunch of old sinners like us, man. Well, I'm telling you, I do not take his presence for granted. And he is just as real to me tonight as if he was sitting right there, my brother Charles, man. I'm telling you, somebody ought to get something in here tonight. I'm getting enough for both of us, amen. Oh, boy, I needed that. I needed that touch. Amen. Thank you, Levi. I appreciate that. I'm going to try to preach. I may just get Alyssa cranked back up and see if we can get Legina started, and we'll just shout her out tonight. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm going to try. I'm worried about our young people. And I'm sure glad y'all are in here tonight. There's not many places where you see teenagers show up on Wednesday night anymore. And I'm thankful that you're here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to preach at you tonight. And it may seem like I'm fussing, but I'm not fussing. Man, I'm trying to throw you a lifeline. We've got Courtney and Michael who've just graduated. Congratulations, guys. Is there any other graduates here tonight? Just these two, who? Oh, you graduated this year too? Hallelujah, man. We've got several others that are graduating this year. And I was just thinking yesterday, I was out working at the house, and I got to thinking about some names that just popped in my head and how faithful they were till they graduated. I mean, they were here for everything. Some of them even graduated from our school, and now they're just out. Some of them, their lives are a mess. Some of them had to get married. Some of them will show up here every now and then to play basketball. They don't care enough about God to come 2 hours earlier and hear the Word of God preached. And I love them. They're my friends. I'm not bashing anybody now. I'm just telling you, I don't want to lose you guys. Amen. I want to see you make it. I want you to stick. I want to see God move and do something in your life. I guess the reason so many just go kind of wild, they graduate and get jobs and kind of get out from under mom and daddy's rule for a little bit, and they kind of feel that fleshly freedom, man. And you think it's just an excuse to go wild, but it's not. It's an excuse to hunker down, man. It's time you stood on your own spiritual legs and started making your own spiritual way. Amen. I would even question my faith if I quit church just because mom and daddy didn't make me go anymore. If the only reason you're here is because mom and daddy made you, something's missing in your heart. And I'm preaching to all our teenagers tonight, but I really want to focus on these graduates a little bit. This graduation's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. For most people, it's 13 years of their life. What, about 16 for you? For most people, seriously, man, that's a big accomplishment. People make a bigger deal out of people graduating college than they do high school. Let me tell you something. High school and grade school is a lot longer period, man. That's a long time. That's a big chunk of your life. Matter of fact, the majority of your life, you've been in school. So it is a big deal. But graduate, do you know what that means? Graduate means to move up. To graduate, are y'all listening? To graduate means you leave one area and go on to something bigger. Amen. So understand what I want you to think about this tonight. What am I graduating to? What am I graduating to? And I'm not just talking about Michael wants to be a fireman, is that right? And an EMT and all that good stuff. That's an honorable profession, man. Ain't nothing in the world wrong with that. But I want you to put the physical and the making money your future. I want you to put that all on the back burner tonight. And I want you to look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at your relationship with Him, where you are right now, where you were when you were so on fire and excited about the things of God. Now I want you to consider where you're going. Where you're going. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Very familiar verse of Scripture. The Bible said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Now that's something, isn't it? He's telling the young man to be an example to the other men. He's telling the young Christian to be an example to the older Christian. And you know what? A lot of times I find that to be so, just naturally in your lives. I watch young people whose hearts are more tender, and you come to the altar twice as much as some of these grown-ups do. Amen. Sometimes we ought to follow their lead. Amen. These teenagers come piling up down here like they did tonight. Bless God. We ought to get up off of our blessed assurance and get down here and pray with them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We ought to curl up beside them and say, "Hey, you got a burden I can help you pray for? Is there something I can do for you?" Amen. Hey, be an example, guys. Amen, I want you to be an exception to the rule. I don't want you to be the one who graduated and we don't see you no more. I want to see more of you now that you've graduated. Understand, you've got some time on your hands. You've got youth on your side. Please, God, don't wait till you are 30 years old and got two or three kids before you make up your mind, "Hey, I'm going to do something for God." You may have been in school for 13 years, but most of you have been in church all of your lives. When are you going to graduate here? When are you going to step up here? I want to give you four simple little thoughts tonight. I really want to encourage you, but I want to mention number one tonight, your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When is the last time you really opened up your heart and talked to Him? Have you grown closer over the last few years? Maybe these last 4 years of high school, as the world's pulling at you this way and pulling at you that way. I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost is on the other side, hanging on to you with everything He's got. Hey, are you getting closer to Him or further from Him? Your personal relationship is very important. Don't come in here and tell me how you got a personal relationship with God and your life's full of sin and your life's full of wickedness and you never read your Bible and you never pray. That's not a relationship. That's an acquaintance. I run into a guy at Home Depot, me and Sister Angie, on Monday. And he stopped me in the aisle. I recognized him and he stood there and talked for 30 minutes. I mean, I'm just on and on and on and on. And he walked off, and I looked at Sister Angie. I said, I'll give you $100 if you can tell me who that was. I know him. I knew his face, but I just couldn't put a name where I knew him from. That boy sat there and talked to me. You know what that was? That's an acquaintance. I didn't know his name because I hadn't talked to him in a very long time. Do you even still know his name? His name's Jesus, and He wants to hear from you each and every day. He wants to open up this book to you. He wants to build a personal... You know what I found out, Brother Freddie? The more I read this Bible, the closer I am to Him. The more I read this Bible, the less I'm tempted to sin. The more I read this Bible, the less I am tempted to sin. It's not on purpose. It does it. It'll clean you from the inside out, and that book will work on you. The psalmist knew what he was talking about when he said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hey, he knew exactly what he was talking about. The more of that book I can absorb and the more of that book I can get in me, the more effectual work it's going to do in my life. So I am pleading with you to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. What's your radio set on? Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. I remember when I was a little kid in elementary school, New Georgia Elementary. I was sitting in the lunchroom, man. I looked up. I just had gotten to where I could read a little bit. And it had a picture on the wall. And it was like in a big circle. And it had an egg. And it had a chicken. And it had a fish. And it had a cow on that, and some vegetables on that poster. And here's what it said. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. And we were having fish sticks that day. And I was starving to death, but I was scared to eat that fish stick. I was afraid. I thought, man, I don't want to be no fish stick. I'm happy with who I am. Amen. Amen. What it was saying is you're going to be as healthy as the diet you have, and it's that way spiritually too. You are as spiritually healthy as your spiritual diet. Amen. How many times Michael is big into working out? It ain't doing you much good, but he's big into working out, trying to get them BB guns up there. Amen. But anyway, when you're working out, Michael, you have to eat a lot of protein. Is that right? So you can grow, huh? That's the problem. You ain't eating enough protein, and you have to put on more. How many times a day you eat? You don't eat very much. You're a bad example, man. Man, I eat all the time. Do you eat all the time too? I eat all the time, all the time. I'll go home tonight and Lord help a bag of tater chips. If I open them, I throw the bag away. Come on, somebody help me. I know me and Brother Freddie's got a kindred spirit on them Cool Ranch Doritos, amen? Man, I'm gonna cut this short, bro. Hey, go get some Doritos, bro. In other words, what I'm saying is this flesh, it cries to be nourished every single day. Hey, he's got some Nutter Bars. Amen. It cries to be fed every single day. We were out there working on the swimming pool today, and it was hot, and something just told me, you ain't ate. And I went and made me two banana sandwiches. Y'all like banana sandwiches? I slab some Jif peanut butter on that bread. I put one sandwich on top of the other one and mashed them and ate them both at once. Amen. And a bag of Lay's tater chip. You know what? I've talked myself into starvation here. You know what my flesh is screaming right now? Feed me. Feed me. It's been a long time. Them bananas and peanut butter's gone. I need good stuff. I need some hot dogs. I need tater chips to survive. Amen. So is that spiritual man. We're living in a day when not just young people, but most Christians are spiritual anorexic. Some of them remind me of that crowd. What do you call them? Is it bulimic? Where they eat and they run the bathroom and gag themselves and throw up their food. Again, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Are you listening? Throw up a $30 steak? You out of your mind, man. There's only be one reason I'd want to throw that thing up, so I'd do like a cow. Oh, that's gross. Hey, and eat it again. You come to church and you hear the preaching and you're taught the Word of God, but you let it go as soon as you get out the door. Amen. Some of you could not for the life of you tell me what I preach Sunday morning. I guarantee it. Some of you sitting there going, it was loud, it was long. Your spiritual man needs to be fed. Amen. If you want him to get bigger, double his intake. Amen. Double his intake. Your personal relationship with the Lord. Where are you? Where are you? Do you feel like if you really had a great need and you had to have an answer to prayer, could you get it? That college application or that job interview that you want so bad? You've put a lot of thought into that, hadn't you? What if you was just close enough to God? You'd say, God, that'd be your will. And God say, you got it, son. I want you to work on a personal relationship with the Lord. I want to see you get stronger, not weaker. I want to see you get closer, not farther. Amen. Amen. Your personal relationship with the Lord. Secondly, I want to talk to you about your purpose. I want to talk to you about your purpose. Did you know God created you for a reason? Amen. When God made Michael Mooney, God said, I need an idiot. Amen. No, I'm serious. I'm serious heart attack. God had a job in mind when he made you. And Courtney Hunt, God had a job in mind when he made you. And brother, God had a job in mind when he formed you in your mother's womb. He made you for a certain reason. I saw a bumper sticker on a lady's car one time said, born to shop, not hardly. God made you for more than shopping. God made you for more than ultimate fighting. God made you more than deer hunting or whatever your hobbies are. God made you more than a vocation out in the world somewhere. God made you because he had a will and a plan for your life. There is a purpose for you being here. Do you know what it was? Several of these young men in this room have said that God's called them to preach. If God's called him to preach, you know what it'd tickle me to death to do, Brother Robbie? If he's really called to preach, I'd love to ordain him here in a couple of years, maybe three. He ought to get some good Bible Institute under his belt. I'd love to send him out of here and pastor church somewhere. That wouldn't bother you none, would it? You couldn't go. You have to stay. But we'd let that knothead go. Amen. No, I'm serious. I'd love to ordain some of these young men, Brother Freddie. What a blessing that'd be. I'd love to see some of these young ladies walk the aisle and give their hand in marriage to a godly young man, maybe even a pastor, maybe even a missionary. Find your purpose in your life. Do you know how fulfilling it is to find what you were made to do within the family of God and do it? I'll never forget one day I was sitting on my knees on a concrete slab in a high-rise building in Atlanta, and I was building, and you won't understand this, but I was building a battery of fixtures. In other words, I was putting in a commercial bathroom, and I was putting all the pipe together on the floor with the toilets turned up before I hung it in the ceiling. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart as clear as he ever had. And he said, you were made for more than this. I've got other plans for your life. And when I found out what that purpose was, what that plan was, when I stepped in that pulpit of White Oak Springs for the very first time and I preached on the honeymoon's over. The honeymoon's over. And I preached on being serious and living for God for about 5 minutes. It's the truth. And I think I cried three of them, amen. But I remember getting in that car to drive home, and I knew I'd made a mess. I knew it was the awfulest sermon ever been preached on planet Earth. I knew it. I stunk. I stood in the front of that. Brother Earl had me stand in front of the pulpit, and he wanted people to come around, shake my hand, I guess tell me I'd done a good job. I wouldn't even look up. I was just staring at the floor. Brother Charles Williams came to hear me preach my first message. Brother Charles walked down the aisle. I thought he was going to hug my neck, Brother Charles, and he grabbed my shoulders and started shaking me like that. He said, you look at me, boy. And I looked at him. He said, you lift your head up. You just took a stand for God. It'll get a little easier next time, a little easier the next time. You just don't let the devil discourage you. He said, you just stood and did what the devil has been telling you for months you can't. We got in the car, and my wife said, how do you feel? I said, awesome. It's the most wonderful thing. That was better than a 10-pound bath. I'm talking about the worst sermon I ever preached. It was better than a 10-pound bath. It was better than a 10-point buck. It was better than a $50,000 roping horse. It was better than a 69 Camaro. I'm telling you, you know why it was so good? Because it was God's purpose and God's plan for my life. When I stepped in the pulpit at Happy Valley on Happy Valley Church Road in Dallas, Georgia for the very first time, and I put my hand on that worn spot on the pulpit where Brother J.M.'s had rested so many years, Brother Charles, it was like a bolt of lightning shot through me. I felt it as soon as I touched it, as clear as I knew my name. That's your pulpit. That's your place. Don't look for anything else. I knew that I was at home. And I knew immediately it was going to be for a long time. I just knew that. I run into these guys and they say, well, I'm pastoring my seventh church, my eighth church. If you're not planting churches, something ain't right there. I love this growing old together. I like that. When I look at Brother Charles' age, I can see a huge difference. Not huge, in a bad way, but I'm sticking my foot in my mouth. I can see a big difference from 20 years ago. And there's a big difference here. We've grown together. Amen. And in that growing together, you know what it's made? It's made us closer. Man, I wouldn't trade that for the biggest church in the world, man. I wouldn't trade that for First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I wouldn't trade it for Charles Stanley's church downtown. I wouldn't trade it for none of them. Why? Because I found my purpose and I found God's plan for my life. And I'm here to tell you it is absolutely wonderful. And if you miss that, young people, you're going to be searching for it the rest of your life. You'll try any stinking thing to fill the hole. That's why we got Christians out there who are drinking. That's why we got Christians out there who are hooked on prescription drugs. Amen. Can I get a little RU on you? I believe that's why they got a hole and a void in their life. And that hole and that void is the will of God and God's purpose and plan for their life. And they just feel empty, so they're having to fill it up with something else. I'm here to tell you, man, you get full of God. You don't need that. You don't need anything else, brother. Hey, man, you'll be so jacked up on the Holy Ghost, son. I'm here to tell you, somebody ought to find it tonight. Somebody ought to find that purpose and that plan and know what it is. Somebody, and I'm guilty of this, but all the time, you know, I'm preaching to young people around the country, some not quite as much as I used to. Now they're wanting me to preach to old people, and ain't that funny? Used to, Brother Joe Author would call me and say, come preach to my young people. Now he calls and says, will you preach my senior citizens' Valentine banquet? Oh, what are you trying to tell me? Amen. Not the young preacher anymore. But everywhere I go, young people say, Brother Eddie, pray. Pray I find God's will. Let me just say, I don't think it's something you got to hunt.
Amen.
I really do. Just people, I've just been searching for God's will. I don't think you are. I may be bad wrong, but I don't think you're looking for it. I've never found one person that wanted the will of God that didn't know the will of God.
Amen.
You don't got to hunt it. You got to want it. You got to have a desire for it.
Amen.
Some of you won't hunt it because you already know what it might be. I've heard preachers preaching, Brother Freddie, from the pulpit, and they said they knew they were called to preach before they ever got saved. Levi's one of them, come think of it. Knew they were called to preach before they ever got saved. So they not only ran from the call to preach, they ran from salvation, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Some of y'all are just afraid to give in because you know what God's going to do with you when you let go and let Him have you. But I'm here to tell you, hey, you're punishing yourself, man, because you are missing the only thing in this life that will truly make you happy. She won't make you happy. He won't make you happy. Money won't make you happy. But brother, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, living on welfare, walking in the will of God for your life. I'm serious. Find it. Find it, kids. Find that purpose. Now, purpose, that's kind of got a twofold meaning. Your purpose is God's plan for your life and God's will for your life. But there's another purpose too. Daniel said that he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. Before the opportunity to sin ever came up, he had already made a decision back yonder somewhere. So you need to purpose in your heart that you're going to develop this good personal relationship with the Lord, and you're going to purpose in your heart not only to know the will of God, but to do the will of God in your life. How many people, and I'm not bragging on me, but how many people would have died possibly and gone to hell had not, I knew what God wanted me to do. What if I had not done it? Several thousand sermons would not have been preached. Maybe these people would have gotten church and got saved somewhere else. I don't know. But I think about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that have walked these aisles and give their heart to Jesus Christ. Purpose in your heart that you're not only going to know the will of God. To know something and do nothing with it is useless. That's like all these people who've puffed up on their knowledge. Well, I can read the Greek New Testament. Big whoop. I don't have a desire to. Y'all all right? I always wanted to hand one of them cats one and go for it. I got one in my office. I wonder, do they know you start at the back? Amen. They don't want you start at the back. That's Hebrew, isn't it? Does the Greek read left to right? Is that right? Yeah, I knew it was something weird. That's about all I know about it. Amen. What good is all that knowledge if you're sitting on it? That'd be like a guy having a cure, a vial of serum in his hand that would cure cancer, and stick it in his pocket and keep his mouth shut. A little conspiracy theory here, but by the way, I believe there is one.
Amen.
Truly do. The pharmaceutical companies just won't let it go. You know how much money the medical profession would lose if they stopped doing chemo? Anyway, ain't going to do that message. I just believe they can cure some of this stuff. Amen?
Amen, sir.
Develop a personal relationship with the Lord. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're going to have a relationship with the Lord, it's going to take work. You're going to have purpose in your heart that you're going to do that. Amen? You're going to have to make yourself do that. That's discipline. If you can make yourself lift weights and drink them milkshakes and eat them stinking candy bars and protein, if you can do all that, you can develop a relationship with the Lord. If you can discipline yourself to exercise, or ladies to lose weight, whatever the case may be, you can discipline yourself to have a relationship with the Lord. And you know what happens over the years? It gets automatic. You still have to kick yourself every now and then, but for the most part, it's automatic. I wake up with him every morning. I go sleep with him every night. Amen. I ride down the road in a vehicle with him every single day. Relationship. Find your purpose. Thirdly, find your place. God's got somewhere he wants you to be and something he wants you to be doing. I want you to get that fireman's job. I want you to get that fireman's job. Amen. I do. But man, I'm more interested in what God wants for your life. And I want y'all to find whatever your heart's desire is, and I want you to be successful at it. But more than anything, I want you to find exactly where it is God wants you and what he wants you to be doing. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're 25 or 30. Man, them Latour girls, they started working that bus. Was y'all even out of high school yet? She wasn't, you was, right? She hadn't even graduated yet, and she was running a bus route. I'm not saying you got to run a bus route, but you can find something to do. Amen. God didn't make you just to play basketball. Amen. God made you for a purpose. Man, we got some fine young men and some fine young ladies in this church, man. And God put you here for a reason. So what I'm trying to say, it's time you got productive. It takes a personal relationship. It takes finding your purpose. It takes finding your place. Hey, but then when you put all that together, you start getting productive for the cause of Christ. Amen. What are you producing? What ministry in this church is being helped or added to? I've already prayed. You're the only one I know what your plans are. I need to know from y'all what you want, what you think God wants you to do, and where you want to go to work or school, and I can help you pray about it. I've already been praying about that fireman's deal, brother. I believe that's a done deal. God will take care of that. But listen, here's what you got to do. You got to make up your mind. God, you give me that job that I desire, I'm going to be productive. My first paycheck, I'm going to tithe.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm going to save up my money first and buy a car. No, you'll never start.
Right.
You take that first paycheck and you start tithing. You pray about it and ask God to give you a little amount that you can give to missions every month.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
Man, I worry about some of y'all. When T.J. Kimmel came in here the other week and showed that video from, where was that place? Africa. Yeah, somewhere in Africa. Man, he started showing that deal, man. And I got an investment there.
Yeah,
brother, I helped that guy go there. I helped that guy produce his videos. I helped that guy buy his gospel tract. I helped buy his plane tickets, man. Woo! Goes right there. Man, somebody said, don't you want to go to the mission field? I get enough joy out of watching them guys, man. Hey, man, I don't want to say how it don't fire y'all up. I write a check every week.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, man, so that fires me up. That very first paycheck, you'll go ahead and purpose in your heart right now and tell God, Lord, you give me that job. I'm going to give it back to you.
Amen.
I'm not going to rob you.
Yeah.
We all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
It'd be good for some of you adults, too.
Yeah.
I forgot how many people it was we had out of work at one time, like 30. And people hitting me every service, Brother Eddie, pray. Brother Eddie, pray. Taking up love offerings for everybody and their brother to keep lights on and water and gas and all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Pray, Brother Eddie. Pray I get a job. Pray I get a job. I got more phone calls. I've been used for references more than you can shake a stick at. And I lied for every one of you and told them you was fine, upstanding folks. Amen. Brother Eddie, you pray I get this job. I'm on my way to an interview, Brother Eddie. Pray it goes good.
Amen.
And I did. A lot of them's got a job, and they ain't give God a thin dime.
Yeah.
Amen. We got to wait till we get straightened out. You won't. You never will. You can't prosper keeping what belongs to God. You say, oh, you're just a money preacher. Y'all know better than that. Ain't had a raise in over 12 years. Wouldn't take one if you offered it now. Ain't no money, preacher.
Amen.
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 I'm a church preacher. I want to see the buses keep rolling. I want to see the Sunday school keep growing. Amen. Now, boy, y'all going to get to step out here and become a part of it. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, I want you to find your potential. I don't know how much you can do for God, but God does.
That's right.
You remember in the New Testament, he gave to one so many talents and another so many talents and another so many talents. And at the end of that thing, he said, according to their several ability. There is several ability. In other words, different levels of ability we have in this room.
Amen.
Michael, you act like you want us to believe you're stupid, but I know better. You're a smart young man. You've been in that book a long time, man.
Amen.
Don't waste it. God's give you a great ability.
Amen.
And I don't know why I keep singling him out. I've got two other graduates back here tonight, too. God made you for something.
Amen.
God put initiative in you. God put drive in you. And you let a little sin in your past sidetrack you, derail you a little bit.
Amen.
It's time to throw your leg back on over that saddle and ride again. Amen. I don't see you reach your potential. I believe you can be a greater preacher than me. That ain't saying much, but amen. Brother Fisher signed my Bible. It may not be this one. It may be my other one. Don't you know what it says? Brother Fisher is my pastor. When I need advice, I call him. He used to call me all the time, but I guess he figured I'm beyond help. I don't think he signed this one. In my other Bible, Brother Fisher signed my Bible. You know what it says under it? Go on by, brother.
Amen.
Go on by. And as soon as I read that, I knew what he meant, Brother Freddie. I want you to pass me. I want you to do more for God than I've done. And that's my desire for you guys. That you do more than we ever dreamed about.
Amen.
I'd like to sit back at Brother Charles's age and look at your lives and go, wow.
That's right, brother.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Listen, we have grown the leadership of this church from within.
Amen.
Levi, I know he's my son. I may be a little biased, but I think he's as fine a young preacher as he is anywhere around.
Amen.
I mean, boy, he preaches. It's solid content. How many songs you written now? About 25? It's close. I guarantee it's close to 20. I mean, everything he sang tonight, he wrote. God gave him that stuff. That's amazing, man. He's a product of us. He's a product of here. Well, I'm telling you, man, that makes me want to shout. I got my church bulletin here a couple months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, whenever it was, and I looked at it and I thought, man, that looks different. That looks good. It's just different. I said something to Tom about it. I said, man, the bulletins look good. He said, yeah, Bibba started doing it. I said, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love seeing people who grow up here and have been here most all their lives. And now they're stepping up.
Amen.
And they're taking on some responsibilities.
Amen.
And they're serving and they're working.
Amen.
Don't get out. I'll come after you.
Amen.
Every one of you will hunt you down.
Amen.
I don't want you to be a statistic.
No, sir.
I don't want you to be one of those names that went through my head yesterday. And there were a lot of them. Did you know we have, I gotta be careful, we have some of the finest young preachers that I've ever been around in my life who are not preaching anymore. I'm talking about when they were in the 12th grade, they stood in this pulpit and preached like they've been doing it 20 years.
That's the truth.
Seasoned preachers. That I could trust to take this pulpit when I'm out of town. That I'm talking about preach, brother.
Amen.
Content, touch of God.
Yeah, right.
Not even preach.
Yeah.
Some of them not even in church.
Right.
Don't be him.
Amen.
Don't be her. You know what broke my heart? On that 20th anniversary deal y'all did for us, it's just what so sweet. Man, one of the sweetest things I've ever been a part of in my life. But they put that old youth choir, part of that old youth choir together, and I sat there with Sister Angie and cried like a baby, and she squeezed my hand. She said, it's killing you, ain't it? I said, yeah, it is. Because most of them stand up there singing don't go to church anymore. Don't be that. I looked up here at Amy, Brother Randy, and she tore my heart in half. She grew up in my house all her life. I looked at Misty. And looked at Mitch. You talk about a preacher. Oh, my soul. Don't let it happen to you guys. But don't just take it for granted that it won't. You're going to have a relationship with him. You're going to have purpose in your heart. That's not going to be me. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to serve God with my life.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet tonight. Hey, I know I mentioned a couple of names, but I didn't do that in a bad way. So don't leave here and make things worse by calling some of them guys and saying, Brother Eddie mentioned you. Don't do that. It'd hurt them.
Amen.
But I wouldn't hurt them for nothing in this world. I want them back. Every one of them.
Yes.
I want them back. And you know what I keep praying? I keep praying and I keep believing, Brother Freddie. They're coming home. I just pray that it's not at a cost. So high, like a marriage or a loss of a child. I want them all to come home. Please don't make me ever have to pray that for you. Teenagers, I'm serious. Don't let me ever have to pray that for you. A couple of weeks ago, maybe it's a couple of months, I don't know. Bo came in and sat down. It's a little girlfriend on that side over there. I just sat here and wept, man. That's one of those prayers. That's one of my boys, and he's home tonight. And I thank God for it. God's big enough to keep you in. God's big enough to help you if you'll just let him. I promise you he wants to. I know we normally have just our regular altar prayer, but I want to give an invitation tonight. Sister Janice, if you'd come and just play. Boy, I got a burden, man. I'm praying some of you adults that get a burden too. Help me as I go before God every day on these kids' behalf. Help me to pray for them. Make up your mind you're going to love on them and encourage them. Be there for them. Let's bow our heads all over the house. I'm just going to ask our teenagers, but adults, this is for you too. I wonder if somebody here tonight says exactly what I needed to hear. Preacher, pray I do something with it. Just slip up your hand. Thank you so much. Just going to ask because I feel like the Lord would have me to. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight. You say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now if heaven would be my home. I'd really like to get that settled in my heart. Would you just slip up your hand? Preacher, just pray for me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Brother Eddie, I'm not sure if I died right now heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come before you this evening, God. We thank you for a good day. Lord, I thank you, Father, for these fine teenagers that are in this room tonight. I hate Brother Allen couldn't be here, but Lord, I'm so glad they stayed in here tonight. And Lord, you allowed me to preach to them one more time. Lord, you saw every hand. God, you know every heart. Lord, I pray, Father, you just help them tonight. God, encourage them and strengthen them, God. Lord, to do whatever it is that your will for their life. Lord Jesus, we'll thank you. We'll praise you. We'll give you glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.